has given the Jewish people a lot of great, deeply meaningful holidays. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, is one of our most important holidays. It is a yearly reminder that human beings are sinners in need of atonement. And the truth is that we are in the most desperate need of atonement. Atonement is one of our very greatest needs. Atonement, being reconciled to God, making peace with God, getting right with God, is so important, so essential, so beneficial. King David was one of the greatest human beings who ever lived. But he did some truly awful things in his life. He was guilty of adultery and murder to cover up his adultery. Even though he was a man after God's own heart, he was also aware that he was a sinner who was very much in need of atonement. In Psalm 32, and you might want to open the Bible in front of you to Psalm 32, David celebrates the God who provides atonement, and he celebrates atonement. Just as some Eskimo peoples have many words for snow in its various manifestations, because knowing the different kinds of snow can be very important to their well-being, so the Jewish people have many words for sin, because it's important for us to understand the various aspects of sin. David begins his psalm celebrating God and atonement using three different words for sin. Blessed is the one whose transgressions, pesha, are forgiven, whose sins, chata'a, are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin, avon, the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. Now, my paraphrase. How very happy, how advantaged, how much better off is that human being who has been rebellious against God? Pesha, rebellion, transgression, who has crossed moral and spiritual boundaries that should not be crossed, which includes all of us, and who has sinned, chata'a, by missing the mark, by falling short, by failing to do what God requires, which includes all of us. How very happy, how advantaged, how much better off is that human being who has sinned by perverting his ways, avon. And the Lord has stopped thinking about the ways that man has perverted things and twisted things and is no longer counting his crooked ways against him. Pesha, chata'a, avon. Notice that David is not praising God for stingy forgiveness, partial forgiveness, but he's praising God for complete and total forgiveness. His sins are forgiven, all of them. His sins are covered, all of them. The Lord has stopped thinking about and keeping count of all his sins. God is willing, God is able to forgive every kind of sin, every aspect of our sin, all of our sin in all their evil manifestations. What a great and merciful God. What amazing atonement God is willing to grace us with. But there is a precondition to atonement, and that is tshuva, repentance. Genuine repentance, real repentance. In the spirit of this forgiven individual, there can be no deceit. This happy and atoned for human being has turned from his sins and has turned to God and God's ways in a sincere and heartfelt way, not in a shallow, insincere kind of way. His is a repentance that comes from his spirit, the subtle spiritual part of who he is. His repentance is sincere, it is deep, it is genuine. If we want atonement, and we should, we must make absolutely certain that we are really repenting, really turning to God, really turning away from our sins and not playing at religion. Deceiving ourselves and trying to deceive the Almighty God that we have turned from our sins and turned to him and his righteous ways when we haven't. Atonement involves repentance, and repentance involves confession. Psalm 32 continues, "When I kept silent about my sin, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer." God's all-powerful. God is all-knowing. God is all-moral. He is a supremely moral being. And this all-moral being created us in his image and created us with a conscience. Our conscience is there to help us to do what is right and avoid what is wrong. When we have done something wrong and we begin to suspect that we have done something wrong, our conscience begins its work. And God also begins to act on our conscience and intensify the work of our conscience. And that's a good thing. Human beings are weak. We are fallen creatures. And generally, unless we are unhappy or miserable or suffering or in pain, we do not make the necessary changes that we should make. Is that not true? It is true. And so our conscience starts making us unhappy. It begins to suck the life and the happiness out of us. My bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. A guilty conscience not only sucks our vitality and joy, it interferes with our desire to be close to God, to be intimate with God, to talk to God, to serve God, which adds even more to our unhappiness. The wrong ways to deal with a guilty conscience: ignore it, dull it with drugs or alcohol, divert it with entertainments or pleasures. The right way to deal with a guilty conscience? Acknowledgement of sin and confession. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. We must acknowledge our sin. David wrote, I acknowledged my sin to you. We must not ignore our sin, deny our sin, minimize our sin, justify our sin. I did not cover my iniquity. We must confess our sin, agreeing with God that my sin is sin. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Confession must be specific. We must tell the Lord exactly what we have done wrong. When we do our part, acknowledge and confess, the Lord will do his part. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. What a great God who is willing and able to forgive the iniquity of our sin, to atone for our sin, and restore us into a right relationship with himself. You forgave the iniquity of my sin. God was very gracious to King David. He helped him repent while there was still time. David includes a warning for others that the issue of atonement, getting right with God, should not be delayed. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you regarding repentance and atonement, while you may be found. There is a time when God can be found, and there is a time when God will not be found. There is a time when atonement can be found, and there is a time when atonement will not be found because we've waited too long. The Word of God has other similar warnings about not delaying to get right with God and receiving his atonement. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. But as for me, my prayer to you, O Lord, is at an acceptable time, a time when God is favorably inclined to answer, and we dare not wait when the time becomes unacceptable to God. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, not tomorrow, is the time to soften our hearts, to turn to God, to confess, to get right with God and receive his atonement. There might not be a tomorrow for you to receive atonement. How foolish if we wait until it's too late. Have you ever met anyone that you have talked to about God, about Messiah, the good news, and they wait, and they wait, and they wait, and they wait, and something happens, and it's too late? God is kadosh, 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 infinitely holy. Eventually, this perfect and holy, moral being who is offended by sin, by rebellion, by transgression, by those who twist his ways, will judge and reject sin and the one who has not repented. When his judgment comes, and it will come, his judgment may be like mighty rising waters that suddenly come and destroy those caught in those mighty waters. The faithful man who has prayed, who has gotten right with God in that time when God can be found, will be like a man who is high above that deadly flood. Surely, the rising of the mighty waters will not reach him. Why would we not want to be that man? Human beings who are so easily deceived by sin often think that sin is fun. And following God is not much fun at all. The truth is the exact opposite. It is a close personal relationship to the living God based on genuine atonement and right living that results in not only joy, but in safety and security and protection and victory. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble. You will surround me with songs of deliverance. And not only protection, victory, happiness, but divine instruction. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Adonai loves the individual who is in a state of forgiveness, who is living a life of repentance and atonement. The channel of communication between the holy God and that repentant individual is unobstructed. And God is able to speak to him. And he is able to hear God speaking to him. He is able to hear God instructing him, teaching him, directing him, counseling him. Why wouldn't we want this great God to watch over us with a loving eye instead of an offended eye? Why wouldn't we want this great God to be in the kind of relationship with us that is so real, so personal, so unobstructed by sin that we are able to hear him instructing us, teaching us, counseling us, and then are able to go in the way we should go? Repentance, atonement, involves being teachable, being correctable, being responsive to God so that he can easily direct us. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Are we like the horse and the mule? Hard to direct? Or because of our repentance, are we easy for God to direct? Many are the woes of the wicked, rasha, the sinner as someone who is noisy, tumultuous, tossing, restless, not at peace, and therefore disturbing the peace of others. Many are the woes of the rasha, the wicked, the noisy, tumultuous, tossing, restless ones. But the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him, the one who's loyal to him, the one who is faithful to him. So why would we want to experience many woes? Many are the woes of the wicked. Why would we want to experience many woes, miseries, failures, when we could be recipients of divine love that can surround us and will never fail us? Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him, is loyal to him, faithful to him, is right with him, who is atoned by him. David's final encouragement to us: rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart. The righteous, those who are in a right relationship with this supremely moral God, because they have turned from their sins and have turned to God, who have received his atonement, who are upright in heart, which means they are committed deep within themselves to live in a way that is straight and true. They are the ones who will be truly happy. Rejoice in the Lord, be glad, sing. Not the wicked, who transgress, who rebel, who sin, who pervert, who twist. Why would we not want to experience the joy that comes from our right relationship with the living God, living the right way, and enjoying the great atonement the Lord has provided? All we need to do is genuinely turn to him. Turn from our sins and repent. Amen.